I'm going to take, they've taken a larger look at ACA and then Professor Mariner's looked kind of the wellness pieces. I'm going to actually look at a specific population and the effects that we might see of the ACA and how it's being implemented, particularly of interest as I look towards the Section 1115 waiver out in California. I have no conflicts to disclose at this time. A colleague of mine found this cartoon, and I have to say that it's my very favorite representation of what has happened as we created the Affordable Care Act. I think it's particularly useful today as we look at how we might miss some of the concerns to people with disability as we go about the process of implementation, particularly at the state level. Because certainly there were quite a few machinations that this bill went through and the processes are going to go through again. And we can discuss how that pile looks in each state. So, and what I will say is that most experts agree that the Affordable Care Act is a positive step for people with disabilities, at least potentially. It has the potential to be. This idea about no more discrimination on the basis of pre-existing conditions, and I think our previous speakers talked a little bit about what is this going to do to cost, and we can talk about what this will really mean for access if we can't deal with the cost issues. But the idea that people who were precluded from the insurance market may now have access is a positive. And if we partner that with doing away with lifetime caps on benefits, this also may be a positive. In addition, there's language in the bill that, depending on how it's implemented, might in fact increase access to home and community-based services. Certainly, we've seen that the CLASS Act is now gone by the wayside, so we'll have to see how states decide to take them up on some of the community-first initiatives, but they're there, and they were included. And then mental health services, to the extent that they do end up included as part of an essential benefits package, that's going to be a real benefit for folks in this area. So if we're doing that, why do we need to address the issues of how this is going to affect persons with disability? People with disabilities have been described in some settings as the canary in the coal mine for the healthcare system. For a lot of people who have to rely on the healthcare system and access to medical equipment and to medications, and also access to services from the medical system, these are things that allow them to participate in their activities of daily living, their jobs, and when this access changes, they often are the first to recognize the effects before the rest of the population. And unfortunately, when the change is not in a positive direction, they're also likely to be disproportionately impacted in a negative way. So as we're looking at how states are going to start looking at their exchanges, how they're going to deal with Medicaid over the coming years up to 2014, California has moved ahead, and they have gotten a Section 1115 waiver called a Bridge to Reform, in which they've explicitly stated that their plan is to save $10 billion over 5 years by enrolling seniors and people with disabilities who are not duly eligible for Medicare and Medicaid in mandatory Medicaid-managed care programs. Say that 10 times quickly. So the idea is that if the state can provide greater coordination of care, that in fact they will be able to save large sums of money in this population. Certainly that would be fantastic if truly we were able to coordinate care. But this assertion's been met with a great deal of skepticism. Lots of different advocacy groups have been trying to work with the state. I think it is interesting to note that, as opposed to in the past, the advocacy groups aren't just saying, no, we're not going to do this, absolutely not, and fighting tooth and nail. We're seeing a lot of advocacy groups really working with the state, trying to figure out what this is going to look like. And so they are trying to discuss. And I think that not only are we seeing this in California, but given past trends with managed care Medicaid in the states, it's likely that other states are going to follow the same pattern. So I think we need to look at what we need to do to make this process go well. Managed care has certainly not gotten a fantastic reputation. Back in the heyday of HMOs, we have lots and lots of concern. At its core, managed care does not have to be a negative. The idea of managed care itself can be a positive if done appropriately. But the question remains whether or not the states have the processes and the actual healthcare networks in place to support a program, particularly for a population with high health needs, that would able to be able to appropriately serve those needs. I want to look a little bit at the history of Medicaid managed care for persons with disabilities. In 2000, there was a study by Reagan Stern that they did for the Kaiser Foundation that showed that many states who had begun enrolling persons with disabilities in the Medicaid managed care system had actually begun moving those persons back to their fee-for-service systems. The difficulties at the state levels ranged from difficulties finding service providers that were able to appropriately serve the clients under those systems to finding that these patients far exceeded the capitated rate that they were able to pay. Today we're going to look at two particular programs, California, both a proposed program back in 2005, which was not implemented, and the program today, and Florida, which just is finishing up its five-year pilot program. Other states currently do accept persons with disabilities into their Medicaid managed care programs, but often they'll allow for opt-outs for people with disabilities, or in fact, they will say that they're not going to include people with disabilities in the first place in these programs. The studies that have looked at many of these programs continue to be unclear about whether or not there is cost savings, and more importantly, they're unclear on whether the care coordination that's been heralded as so useful has been truly a model that's worked for this population. The Florida experience, just briefly, it began in 2006. The latest study on this came out in April of this year, and data indicate that they're not really sure if there were cost savings, and to the extent that there might have been, it's unclear whether they're true cost savings or that there's savings at the expense of needed healthcare services. Additionally, we're seeing a lot of market disruptions in Florida as this program's been in place that haven't been fully explained. And at this point, the Florida legislature is, in fact, considering expanding the program to additional counties, but it's not yet clear if the federal government will grant an extension to the waiver. So we'll have to continue to watch this, but that's the most recent from the Florida program. For California, they have looked to expanding mandatory managed care for persons with disabilities multiple times over the past decade. In 2005, Sarah Rosenbaum and her colleagues prepared a study looking at what might happen if they implemented this program. The concerns they cited included inadequacy of the network potentially to serve the needs of the patient, accessibility and availability of needed treatment regimes, willingness to allow community and provider input, which is so important to these types of programs, ADA compliance issues, issues with disruption of existing provider relationships, which for patients with complex needs are extremely important, and especially access to specialty care. And what was particularly nice was this report went beyond looking at the availability of specialty care in general to talking about issues such as, even if they're available, does the travel time really preclude them from being meaningfully available? So they looked at all of those issues. Despite these concerns and hopefully as they've worked on these concerns. We are now 6 years later, and California is poised to implement this, begin enrolling persons with disability actually in June of this year, so a little bit too soon to have a lot of data on this. So it remains to be seen how this program is going to work. My hope is that we'll have some information over the next year that we can potentially share at a later date. I will say that coming in the November 2011, which is currently available online, the Journal of Healthcare for the Poor and Underserved had a study that looked at fee-for-service versus Medicaid-managed care in California as it stands now. And actually, the study was quite positive in terms of its impact. People having the managed care program were rating their managed care services and access about the same or even better than people in a fee-for-service program. So we'll see how that continues. This was with a voluntary managed care program rather than with a mandatory managed care program. It remains to be seen. It's hypothesized that there will be a more complex healthcare need of the persons in a mandatory managed care program, because on a voluntary basis, they may steer clear of a managed care program, where in this case, they're not going to have that option. And in addition, this study did not include feedback from anyone who was fee-for-service, switched to managed care, and then went back to fee-for-service. So if that switch was, it doesn't give information on why the switch was. They just weren't part of the study. And so if that switch back was for reasons that they were dissatisfied, that may also be something that could be looked at in the future. So under the ACA, as with California, I believe, and continuing with the thought that this is somewhat speculative, but I think we've already started to see a larger movement towards managed care Medicaid for persons with disabilities. I think that in this program, if we're truly doing a mandatory movement towards managed care, we're going to likely see a higher acuity than we've seen in the past when we've done more voluntary movement to managed care for persons with disabilities. And I think we're, because of this, going to see an increase in difficulty accessing specialty care, as well as the widely recognized concern with access to primary care because of these changes. I propose that top-down sweeping changes aren't likely to provide the best transition to managed care for people with disabilities. I think it is critical that we include people who are using the system, people who are providing services within the system in the decision-making process, if we're in fact going to have a system that actually works. I think the process needs to be open, and it needs to include those persons most effective as a part of any changes. Elizabeth Pindo just did an article on, and it's listed on the sources page for those of you who are interested in it, looking at accessibility of medical equipment and how that analysis can happen. I think it's critical that as we move towards systems that require managed care programs and specific service provider, that we do an analysis of current programs, looking at safeguards to ensure that accessible equipment is available. And in addition, before new programs are added, that analysis should take place. This shouldn't be an add-on after we've said, sure, you can be a provider. We need to do this in a positive proactive way. And the data collection, the ACA certainly has some additional data collection language for person with disabilities. And I think that both the research component is extremely important, but it is my hope that they also make sure to look at the same populations in utilization studies so that we can ensure that on the front end we're checking out any concerns for access before they become large problems, and they can be addressed on the front end. And with that, I think I'll conclude. I think my time is up, but I will say I think that we're going to need to work with the advocacy groups out there as we design these programs, because I don't think it's going to be an easy transition, and we could end up spending more rather than less, and we'll have to see what happens to the quality of care. Thank you.